Our scripture reading, chosen for today, God the Holy Spirit has caused to be written by divine inspiration through the pen of St. Peter in his first book, the second chapter, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. For years, when I would be teaching adult confirmation or adult instruction classes, as we got to the section in Genesis 3 that dealt with the account of the fall into sin, I would often say to people before reading it, now think in terms of how a little child responds to authority. Think of how a little child, or maybe even you yourself, would often think about authority over you and someone kind of guiding you and telling you what to do. And then we would go through and read the account. And quite often they would see the great similarities that seem to show up in all of us. This kind of general sense, you're not the boss of me now. And kind of this reaction toward God then, once they had fallen into sin, of fear of authority and trying to hide from him and lying back to him and so on. It's amazing the similarities in that text from Genesis 3 to how we respond to God when it comes to our own rebellion and sin. There is this deep-seated sense inside of all of us that we want to shake off the authority of God, that somehow we want to be self-ruled, we want to be self-governed, we want to be autonomous with our lives and what we think and what we do. And we can easily deceive ourselves into thinking and imagining that I'll be better off if I'm going to live my life like this. I will be better off if instead of listening to what God would tell me in his word, that I would say and said to him, you're not the boss of me now. I'm going to do and think what I want to do. And so we're tempted to permit other voices, primarily our own internal sinful voices, rebellious voices, or even the voices of others in the world and in our society. We're tempted to let those speak to us and trump the authority that God has given us through his voice in his holy word, and we have convinced ourselves that this is going to be better for us. We will be better off if we let that happen. St. Peter uses the imagery of sheep to a shepherd, a very common theme and motif that runs throughout the scriptures. And he uses the theme of sheep that want to wander away from the voice of a shepherd. And those sheep likewise imagine that it's going to be to their benefit to wander from the flock and from that shepherd. They say to themselves, I have a better idea of where to go to eat the grass. I know the better places to go and to wander than to be listening to this voice. But wherever the sheep end up being self-ruled and self-governed, it may appear to benefit them initially, but it always puts them in danger, and they always wander off into trouble. We falsely assume that the shepherd who is calling to us through his word, even when it comes to how we live our lives today as Christians, that the shepherd who's calling to us through his word, that he really, really doesn't know what he's talking about, that he really doesn't have our best interest in mind, and that I know better. And this deep-rooted sense of autonomy is so concretely emplaced in our hearts and in our minds. And sometimes it can happen for me, even when I externally, outwardly, publicly to everybody, appear to be part of the flock and appear to be at the foot of the shepherd. And yet, internally, maybe I'm not. Just like Judas outwardly appeared to be part of the flock of Christ's sheep, and yet internally his heart and his soul and his mind was pretty far away, had wandered off to quite a dangerous cliff. Divine oversight for humanity is not only necessary and essential, but it is always for our benefit and for our good and for our comfort. Just like little children who maybe imagine that it's going to be better for them if they rule themselves and if they kind of have their own self-determination about things and autonomy, and yet in the end it always ends up hurting them. Imagine a classroom of third graders where the teacher leaves for 2 hours and there's no adult supervision for 2 hours. The first 5 minutes might be fun, but come back in 2 hours and see who's crying and see who's bloody and see who's missing things. The inmates are running the prison. Years ago, there was a young boy at a church that I was serving who came to youth group one night with a friend who's 15 years old. And I started talking to this boy, and turned out he was living with this family from our church. And when he told me his life story, I thought it was interesting because he said that his parents had divorced years ago and his mom was now living with another man. And his mom basically had no rules for this boy. He could do anything he wanted. He could stay up as late as he wanted, do anything he wanted. And pretty much she didn't care what he did with his life. And he had now run away from home and from that situation and was living with this family that actually had pretty rigid rules. I mean, tight regulations over them. The kids couldn't watch certain movies and they had curfews and everything. And I said to him, "What's it like living with them, having come from your background?" And he said, "You know, I've come to realize that discipline is love." He saw their oversight of their children as love. Peter uses the Greek word overseer here, episkopos, the word from which we get bishop, even the concept of a pastor and an overseer, somebody who watches over, not from the standpoint of being a dictator, an oppressive, but one who does this for care and one who provides and nurtures someone. And he calls Christ now the overseer of your souls. That's interesting. Not just the overseer of your life and of your body, but of your soul. The overseer of our souls. Let's just pause at that for a second. Where did your soul come from? Who came up with that? Who drew up the blueprint for that and designed it and made it and created it? Did you? Did your parents? No, God is the one who has designed your individual personal soul. And don't you think he knows then what is going to be best for it? Don't you think that he has, if he's the one that made it, don't you think he has the best interest of that soul in mind when he deals with us? The good shepherd that St. Peter is referring to here, our Lord Jesus, wins our allegiance. He wins this position of being our overseer from us. He doesn't demand it. He doesn't come and force it on you. He wins it from you. Peter explains in the verses right before our text, using a lot of the wording from Isaiah 53, how the Lord laid on Christ the sin of all of us. And he describes how Christ had to go to the cross to make atonement for all of our sins, paying the great penalty that stood between us and God if we were ever to be led into heaven someday. And Christ came and laid down his life for you individually, personally. He put himself across the coals of hell so that you'd never have to feel that heat in your life, in your future, so that now you have the prospect of heaven in front of you. And Christ has now come to earn this position of being the overseer of your soul. He doesn't force his authority upon you through the law. He wins it through your heart, through the gospel, sending the Holy Spirit into your heart to say, "He died for me. Think what he did for me." And now he comes to sheep like you and me who still have a tendency to want to wander away from him toward jagged cliffs. And he grabs us and he pulls us and he looks at us in the face and he says to you and me, "Think what I've done for you. Think of everything I have gone through so that you could someday eat from the celestial food of heaven. Think of what I have purchased for you, what I've spared you from. Think of the sacrifice I have given. Don't you think when I talk to you about your life and about things in your life and tell you things I'd like you to follow, don't you think it's for your good? Why would I do all of this for you and then tell you something that's going to hurt you? That could never be the case. When I speak to you, he says to me and you, when I speak to you through my word, guiding you in your life, please listen. Please follow, because it's always for your benefit. And so we say with the believers, Lord Jesus, take me by the hand and lead me. I am thine. I am Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart I am. Amen. Please rise. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you for the sacrifice you gave for us, laying down your life for the sheep. And we pray that you would now stir up our souls and hearts to desire to love you and serve you and obey you, for we know that it is always for our benefit. We look forward to the day when you will lead us and guide us to the green pastures of heaven. We ask this all in your saving name. Amen.